Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking today to Gordian Racky. He is the Executive Director of Energy of Renewable Energy Long Island. Did I get it right?
You got it right, Ernie, and thanks for having me on the show again.
Gordian, somebody I know for many years, he has a great deal of expertise in the renewable energy field, and there's always something new happening in that field, it seems. It's not a stagnant field, is it?
No, it's never stagnant. Never a dull moment there.
Now, when we were talking about solar energy back in the 70s and we had some pioneers that were putting it up, it was really very expensive. Today it's expensive, but it's not prohibitively expensive. How competitive is it?
Well, Ernie, I tell you, it's gotten so much cheaper that in many cases it can actually now be less expensive than generating conventional electricity. So depending on where you're located, where you're located in the country, and depending on whether you're competing with peak power generation or just base load power, so what time of the day, it can be actually cheaper, and it can be cheaper for the utility company to get its power from solar panels rather than conventional fossil-fueled power plants.
What utility companies are really taking advantage of solar? Some of them are putting up pretty large arrays. Others are probably still doing the same old, same old.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, right here in Long Island, we've got LIPA and now PUCG Long Island. LIPA has a gets power from a large solar array at Brookhaven National Laboratory. That's a 32 megawatt array, so that's huge. You got to be up in a plane to see it all in one shot. That was built some years ago when solar power was still a little bit more expensive, but now LIPA is getting another 100 megawatts of solar installations going through their feed-in tariff, and that's much cheaper now.
I'm going to express a fear that I have, and you're going to tell me if it's based on any reality. When we can make solar panels so cheap that anybody who has a facing roof to the sun puts them on, what happens to the utility company and the people who are left to support the system?
Great question. It's a fear, I think, that many utility CEOs have in this day and age. And it could be real. It depends on whether the utility company is able to adapt to a new market reality, to new technologies, or whether they're going to just keep doing business as usual. If they just do business as usual, it's going to be very tough for them. If they are innovative and recognize that new distributed technology is sort of like the cell phone type of technology in the communication sector or the internet, or is sort of like the microcomputer back in the days of mainframe, if they realize that and find
why
a business
wouldn't
model.
They realize that? These people are not stupid.
No, but they have they've got a lot of a lot of momentum. They feel like they've for 100 years they've done their business in a certain way, and they don't want to change.
Good
many
enough
of them.
For my mama, good enough for my father,
right.
And it's good enough for me. That
right.
Old-time
but,
religion.
But remember when the CEO of IBM said, "Why would anybody ever want to have a computer in their home?"
And
that's
I agree
ridiculous.
With him. I got one, and it sucks.
But, wouldn't you know it, a few years later, everybody has a computer, not just in their home, but in their pockets. And we're going to see the same thing in the utility business. Everybody is going to have some type of generation at their home or place of business, and everybody's going to have
some
energy
type
stored.
Of generation is the key word here,
yep.
Because it's not solar only.
Not
it's something else.
That's right.
Now, have you heard of a company called TerraPower?
I have not.
TerraPower, you should look it up. It's terrapower.com. And what they claim is that they can make very small-scale nuclear. Now, I know we don't like nuclear because it creates hazardous waste. But what they're saying is they can take the hazardous waste that they have and use that and that consume it so that it's gone. And we have so much of it, waste, laying around that they'd be fueling these things for forever.
Yeah. Not familiar with them.
Is this a pipe dream? You don't know, and I
have
know.
No idea. I mean, there are all kinds of issues with nuclear power. You know, for example, I would imagine that there could be concerns that, Department of Homeland Security would have if everybody has radioactive material in their home. But no, I mean, seriously, we don't know exactly what all the technologies of the future will look like, obviously, but we do know that there's a trend from large, centralized power generation to small and very distributed power generation and storage.
I've been a long-term advocate of distributed generation. And I talked to people at Keyspan when they were the power company. And they said, nobody wants to manage anything on that level. It's too complicated.
Well, they'll have to. That's what they don't want to manage it because they don't know that business model. But the innovators of the future, the innovative utilities, will learn and will actually be able to make money managing that system that has tens of thousands and millions of small generators rather than just a handful of large ones.
In 1992, I'm not sure of the exact time. But I interviewed on the radio some people from Los Alamos, and they had hot rock thermal, the hot rock geothermal.
Geothermal. Mm-hmm.
Now the benefit of that was if they'd go down far enough, and of course of where they were, Los Alamos, they had a very short distance to go to get 450 degrees, which would give them superheated steam
right. So
they can turn generators. On Long Island, it's about 4.5 miles down before you can get that kind of, And I said, well, that makes it prohibitive. And he said, not really. He says, we have oil wells that are deeper than that.
Yeah, technically you can drill that deep. But in terms of the energy output from it, the drilling technology would have to get a lot cheaper to make it worth, financially. But one day we'll probably get there. But, the big revolution right now is...
But, I want to just finish up on that.
Sure.
There's lots of places where it's a half a mile deep or 2 miles or a mile deep.
Yeah.
Long Island just happens to be unusually deep.
Right, right. I mean, there are countries like Iceland. It gets most of its electricity from geothermal
power. 6 inches deep in Iceland.
Yeah, exactly.
so it really isn't a technology problem there. Now, have you been following the hot rock technology?
No, I know a little bit about it. I'm certainly not an expert on it. But I know there's great potential there in other parts of the country right now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to talk about more of the other alternatives other than solar because... I live in a grove of trees. I'm not cutting down those trees
and
to put up solar because, first of all, the air conditioning bill would go up because I don't have the trees, and then I'd have I wouldn't have that the beauty of the trees around me.
Well, so there are all kinds of things that that are possible. For example, there is something called community solar, which is it's not a new technology, it's a new concept, basically new regulation, which means that if you can't put solar on your roof because you don't have don't have sunshine on the roof because you got trees or for whatever other reason, you can buy a share in a large solar array somewhere in the neighborhood, somewhere, it doesn't even have to be nearby, but somewhere in your utility service territory, where a number of people get together, have a large array built, which is actually cheaper.
Why don't the utility companies promote that
and
keep the customers?
They should, and we're pushing that right now because that's a great way to get cheaper solar installations going.
We're going to talk about more of that in the second segment, but I think it's a really important topic. I'm talking to Gordian Rackey. He's the executive director of Long Island renewable energy. And we'll be back in a moment. This is Ernie Fazio. This is Earnestly Speaking on Long Island News Radio 103.9.